Okay, let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 28. Hey, can we get some aircon on? It's kind of hot in here. We're continuing on talking about spiritual matters or spiritual warfare and the like. This is Ezekiel chapter 28. We're going to go from verse 11. It says, "Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre, and say to him, Thus says the Lord God, You had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the ruby, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the lapis lazuli, the turquoise, and the emerald, and the gold, the workmanship of your settings and sockets, was in you. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were the anointed cherub who covers, and I placed you there. And you were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. By the abundance of your trade, you are internally filled with violence, and you sin. Therefore, I have cast you as profane from the mountain of God. I have destroyed you, O covering cherub. From the midst of the stones of fire, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I put you before kings, that they may see you. By the multitude of your iniquities, in the unrighteousness of your trade, you profane your sanctuaries. Therefore, I brought fire from the midst of you. It has consumed you, and I have turned you to ashes on the earth. And all the eyes of all who see you, all who know you among the peoples are appalled at you. You have become terrified, and you will be no more." This is the lamentation over the king of Tyre. And in, Old Testament or prophetic or, you know, apocalyptic language or whatever else you want to call it, this is referring to Lucifer. We know that there are three what we call archangels, which would be kind of like chief angels, right? There's Michael, and Michael was considered to be the warrior angel. And so whenever you see pictures of Michael, like in Jude, in Peter, Revelation and whatnot, in Daniel, he would be the angel that's the war, that's fighting. He's always warring. And he will be the one that ultimately casts down the devil. And then there's Gabriel, and Gabriel is the messenger angel, which is pretty much what an angel is, right? By definition, the angel is a messenger. And so we have Gabriel, who's the messenger angel. And whenever you see like Mary receives the announcement, that's Gabriel that's coming to speak, you know. And then there was Lucifer, and Lucifer was the covering angel. The probably amongst all three of them, the most glorious of them all, you know, and he was the angel that covered. And so what most likely the situation that happened was that in Genesis chapter 1, it said God created the heavens and the earth. Now, obviously, when he created the heavens and the earth, he created it perfectly. He created it beautifully. You know, but the next verse says, "But the earth was formless and void." You know, and so we see that probably from Genesis 1:1 to Genesis 1:2, this rebellion happened. You know, and as a result of Lucifer's sin, and then the angels who fell. You know, Jude. There's only one chapter, right? So it's Jude verse 3. I think verse 3 or verse 6 says that the angels left their abode. They abandoned their place, and they went down. And so Matthew 25, I believe, 41 says that hell was created for Satan and his fallen angels. So hell was never meant to be our domain, right? But the enemy is going to try the best he can to take as many of us with him to his ultimate place of punishment. And so okay, go back to Lucifer. So Lucifer here was the angel that covers. And so the most likely situation was Lucifer was the angel that covered the word, the settings and sockets and whatnot. Some translations say tambourine, but he was likened unto as an instrument. And so in essence, Lucifer was actually, if you were going to draw, you know, if Michael is the warrior angel, if Gabriel is a messenger angel, Lucifer was the worship angel, right? So he was in charge of worship. And so what would happen was that the angels, and apparently at this time, they could choose to do what they wanted to do. And so some would offer up worship to the Lord, and apparently the worship was not all that pure. And so what would happen was Lucifer would be the cherub, right? The angel that covers. And so when the worship was being offered to the Lord, you know, Lucifer would be the one that's kind of like deflecting the bad worship, you know, and then amplifying the righteous worship. Okay, and so another, you know, way you can call that is, you know, Lucifer was like an amplifier. And so the worship was going to the Lord between, you know, by these angels. You know, he would deflect, because remember, he's the one that covers, right? He's the one that protects the throne. And so he would deflect the bad worship, you know, and then amplify the good worship. And so he was like an amplifier. Well, according to what Ezekiel is trying to tell us, it seems as if what happened was that as the angel that covered, when the worship began to come to, through Lucifer, he began to enjoy it, right? And it says, until that day when unrighteousness was found in you. And he began to receive that worship and enjoy that worship. And then all of a sudden, right, the rebellion began to happen during that time. And so, which is a really interesting way to look at it, because if you look at Matthew, right, chapter 4, when he begins to take Jesus, what is Lucifer asking for? I mean, when it's all said and done, right, what does he want from the Son of Man, the Son of God? He says, I'll give you everything if you bow down and worship me. You know, he gets a taste. Tomorrow, I'll use another passage, right, to kind of illustrate this even more, you know, about the origins here. But that's what is ultimately after. It says, if you bow down, this is what I want. When it's all said and done, when it comes down to it, this is what I want. Jesus, I want you to bow down and worship me. You know, and obviously we know the text, right? Jesus doesn't do that. And but it shows that this is the ultimately what the devil wants in our life. He wants us to worship him. You know, and it doesn't mean that you have to be a Satan worshiper, or, you know, and there are people like that. You know, I've met a few in my life. You know, there are people that actually do, and, you know, they have their own Bible, you know, as a man named Anton LaVey wrote, you know, the Satanic Bible, and, you know, and all kinds of stuff. If you guys are ever familiar with Orange County, right, you know, there's a street it's Anton and LaVey. They intersect with one, but that's a whole other story another time. It's actually in Costa Mesa, my hometown. But, you know, so it's a very interesting, you know, thing that's happening there. But the enemy will, you know, as Christians, right, all he needs to do, you know, is to not necessarily receive the worship, but all he needs to do is divert our worship. You know, and ultimately, that's what he's really after. You know, for the non-believer, it's to receive their worship, which he does, right? Because if we're not worshiping the Lord, then we're worshiping something else. You know, we all worship something, you know, and then to the believers to divert our worship, okay? So, that's kind of a long thing just to get us to that part. So, let's close our eyes this morning as a place of reflection. And let's just think about that. I may or may not be teaching this on Sunday. I'm still thinking about it, praying through. But ultimately, what is he after? And today, you have a choice to give the Lord wholehearted worship. And by worship, I don't just mean singing songs. I'm talking about a life focused, right? Purposefully lived on behalf of someone. Either you live your life for yourself, you make decisions that's in your best interest, or you live a life for the Lord that's in His best interest. And in the years I've been a Christian, I recognize that His best interest is my best interest. And so as Pastor Nate leads us in a song of worship, which is just one mode or one avenue by which we worship, right? We worship through giving, we worship through our work, we worship through our speech, our conduct, we worship through our relationships, and we worship through our song. We worship through the way we spend our time. We worship through the focus of our life. And let's just give the Lord unadulterated worship this morning. The fullness of our heart. Let's just begin to pray over our community. Let's pray for a community that is worshipful, that just even the song that we sang, that we worship Him alone, nothing else, right? Not money, not our status, not relationships, right? We worship Him alone. Let that be the trademark of Solomon's Porch and this church community, that we worship Him with abandon and Him alone, that only He is worthy to receive. And let's pray for our church community in that way, that we be a community of worship. Let's pray tonight over our house churches that Jesus would be glorified, that only He would be worshipped. Let's pray for Causeway Bay and Kennedy Road, Seymour Road House Church, Kowloon House Church, and Robinson Road. Let's pray that tonight, that in all these five house churches, that a pure worship would be given to the Lord, you know, through discussion, through the fellowship, through breaking of bread, through the teaching and the ministry and the prayers offered up, the worship offered up, that the focus would be on Jesus and Jesus Christ alone. So just lift up our voices to the Lord and just cover our house churches today. Pray for our mission focus. Let's pray today for our ministries that we support here in Hong Kong. Let's pray for Youth with a Mission. Let's ask God to continue to bless them and the team, Fabi and whatnot. They should be on their way to Seoul, if not already there right now. And let's just pray for a covering over them during this time. Let's pray for just real strength as they just finished about a month in Egypt or whatnot. And so let's just ask God to cover them. Let's pray for face-to-face and Pastor Jimmy and Grace. And their retreat is coming up in a few weeks. Let's ask that the Lord really move upon them and people would sign up and their ministry, especially to Mongolians, would continue to flourish. Let's pray for Sports Services International, the sports ministry. Let's ask God to continue to bless them and use them and to really use sports as an avenue to lead many Hong Kongers to the Lord. Especially as the Asian Games are coming through in December, that God would just really help them prepare for that. Let's pray for Christian Zheng Sheng. And you guys have heard about all the allegations that have been going on in the news the last month or so. Seems like there's light at the end of the tunnel. Let's continue to pray that God would just protect them and guide them and just give them wisdom to make the right decisions in this pivotal time. Pray for the space, the buildings to open up, that they can move their school from their little place into the school that's there on the island. And so let's just cover all men and the leaders of that school and ask God to really bless them. Let's cover. Lord, we just thank you, God, this morning for waking us up, to bring us into this house of prayer. Lord, God, our heart today, God, is to give you, Lord, unadulterated worship, God, that we worship you and you alone, that nothing would take the place of God, our allegiance to you, Jesus. We thank you. We bless you, God. Bless the house churches tonight, God. Bless the ministry, Lord, of each of these saints here in their workplace. God, just honor, God, your desires in our hearts, Father. We thank you. We bless you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys today. Huh?